Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind says he will not run for governor. But former Democratic State Senator Tim Cullen says he probably will. We will get the latest developments in state politics and state government news during this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March 13th. We will also hear about some of the latest news with the state budget and other public policy issues. Then after 7:30, Wisconsin's Agriculture Secretary Ben Bransel will join us with his thoughts on how Governor Walker's proposed budget affects rural Wisconsin. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions on all of this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me welcome our first guest. Happy to have with us Laurel White. Laurel is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
It's a very busy week last week, and on Friday we learned that Congressman Ron Kind, frequently mentioned as a potential candidate for governor, said nope, he's not gonna.
Yep. So Ron Kind has been representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District since 1997. He was elected in 96, and he's really been kind of a perennial gubernatorial contender. His name gets floated by Democrats, it seems like, every 2 to 4 years as a potential Democratic candidate for governor. And he always kind of says, maybe, sort of, kind of, I'm thinking about it, on the edge. And then he has yet to run. So we had kind of a Groundhog Day situation again this year. Very familiar to Wisconsin political watchers. Ron Kind was a maybe, and now he's officially a no, as he has been in the past. He issued a statement on Friday morning, and it was a lengthy statement, so I won't read the whole thing for you. But kind of the real meaty takeaway was a sentence in the middle, and he said, "Given what is happening in Congress now, I believe representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District requires my undivided attention to ensure policies are not enacted that will harm Wisconsinites back home." So he just sort of pivoted and said, I think it's more important. I think it's, you know, it's good for me to be in Congress right now and have all my attention there.
And it seems to me that Congressman Kind, when he was last on this program and I asked him if he was running for governor, said that he, you know, had not made up his mind yet, and that we would be the first to know. But he didn't quite follow through
nice.
On that.
No. We found out when everybody else did.
Yeah.
So
what about Governor Walker has not formally announced his intention for re-election, but he's going to decide soon.
That's right. I mean, the governor has said he's formally going to announce after the state budget is complete. So, of course, that the deadline for that is July 1st. If they meet that, it'll be sometime after that. But the governor has made comments for the past several months, things like, you know, I'm really energized by the Trump administration and the potential of working with a Republican president. That excites me in terms of a third term for governor. You know, he's made comments like, if I were to run for a third term. So it's kind of a nod, nod, wink, wink. It's not official, but it's pretty much official. We're expecting it for sure.
Well, with Congressman Kind out of the picture for the Democrats, who is in the picture for the Democrats?
Well, we had a little bit. It's so funny because this election, of course, isn't until 2018. But us political watchers, we have no sense of time.
Yeah.
So we're talking about this, you know, quite early. But last week we had some news from former State Senator Tim Cullen as well. And it wasn't a very emphatic bit of news. It wasn't a for sure yes or a for sure no. But he said on Thursday, I don't know of any reason that would stop me from running for governor. So not exactly the most concrete terms, but sounds like he's still a maybe for running.
We had Kathleen Vinehout, State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, on the program, too, not that long ago. And as I'm obligated to do, I had to ask her if she was planning on running, and she said she was considering it but had not made a final decision on that as well. So
yeah.
She's still a potential candidate?
She is definitely still a potential candidate. I would say that, Kathleen Vinehout and Tim Cullen are kind of among the top names that you hear when people are talking about these Democratic contenders. And then there's a handful of other names. I don't know if you want me to go through mm-hmm. that list. So we've got Dane County Executive Joe Parisi has also been mentioned, State Representative Dana Walks, who's from Eau Claire, and then Jefferson County District Attorney Susan Happ. So that's kind of the Republican field right now, the Democratic field right now. And that'll continue to winnow and maybe grow over the course of the next year or so.
Yeah, and it's we say we're kind of laughing that we're talking about this so early, but it's 2017 and the governor's race is 2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's so right. So we're getting close there. Yeah. We're getting close.
We are talking with Laurel White. Laurel is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, talking about the race for governor, the 2018 race for governor now, but we will talk about other issues in front of the state legislature and in our proposed state budget. Welcoming your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You know, we'll talk about the state treasurer's office next. The state legislature has voted to abolish this office in a proposed constitutional amendment. Now it will go before voters. So, all right, voters, so how will you vote on this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So that's right, Laurel, It seems to me this is the final approval by the legislature on this proposed constitutional amendment that would abolish the office of the state treasurer. Why does the legislature want to abolish this office?
Well, this is something that's been floating around the state capitol for a few years now, and we got the final stamp of approval from the Assembly on Thursday and the Senate on Tuesday. And the reason that they're talking about this is lawmakers argue that the state treasurer really doesn't have that much to do anymore. Over the past couple decades, steadily, the responsibilities of the state's treasurer have sort of been chipped away, transferred to other state agencies, the Department of Administration, kind of a handful of places. And really, there's only one primary responsibility of the state treasurer now, and that's the service on the state Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. That's it. So there are, I think I heard a few times, several phone calls a month for that. But otherwise, official duties of the treasurer are nil. So lawmakers are saying, hey, why do we have this constitutional office anymore if they don't really have responsibilities?
Yeah, and the current treasurer, Matt Adamczyk, actually campaigned when he ran to be our state treasurer on the platform to abolish the office.
Yeah, isn't that kind of funny?
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect necessarily someone to run for something that they're saying is outdated and not necessary anymore. But yes, the current treasurer says, hey, let's get rid of this office. So we had quite a few people on board, and obviously it's passed both the Senate and the Assembly now. So
it goes before voters then, which is if you do change the state constitution to consecutive houses of the state legislature, it has to pass, and voters have to also approve this in a statewide referendum, which will be in the April 2018 election. Yeah, and talk some about again the why supporters say let's get rid of it.
Well, you know, they really focus on this whole the treasurer doesn't have any concrete responsibilities anymore. And there was this interesting moment in the press conference before session on Thursday where Representative Michael Schraw, who's from Oshkosh, he's a Republican, who's the sponsor of the bill, really focused more on the Democratic element of this whole abolishing a constitutional office thing and said, this is something that we really believe needs to go to the people of Wisconsin at this point. So I think we've got a clip from Representative Michael Schraw.
I say let the people decide. If they decide not to eliminate his position, I will go forward right now and say I'll be the first legislator to step forward and to put responsibility back into that elected position.
So, Laurel, is anyone fighting for keeping the state treasurer's office?
There have been some Democrats in both houses of the state legislature who have argued primarily that it's a balance of power issue, that they want the state treasurer's office to continue existing and some of those old powers to be transferred back in. So we had Senator Kathleen Vinehout, who we were just talking about a couple minutes ago. She said during debate, "We are getting rid of a constitutional office that could play a huge role in being the checks and balances our state so seriously needs." So for folks that don't know, a lot of the duties were transferred to the Department of Administration. The Department of Administration is overseen, of course, by the governor. The head of that agency is appointed by the governor. So some people see this abolishing of the treasurer's office as a consolidation sort of executive power, and that concerns them.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk about some other issues making their way through the state legislature with our state capitol reporter, Laurel White. And we'll welcome more of your thoughts and questions, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking in this first half with Laurel White, who is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. She's bringing us up to date on some of the top stories in state government, things moving through the state legislature. We just talked before news about the legislature giving final approval to a proposed constitutional amendment to abolish the office of state treasurer. This now goes to the voters, a referendum question in April of 2018. So it'll be up to you whether we abolish the office of state treasurer or not. We have a caller who has a question about this, Jeremy in Racine. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Joy. In regards to the state treasury being eliminated, if it does get eliminated, and they are in charge of public land, and with Scott Walker reducing its budget cuts to the public and public and nature reserves around the state, would this potentially open up a Pandora's box, so to speak, with private companies coming in and land grabbing public land now that there's not really anybody there to check over such things and you know, make sure that it's not damaging our environment?
And is there any concern expressed by the opponents of this that think that that could be to move that duty into the Department of Administration is not the thing to do?
You know, that's not an argument that I have heard, at least, you know, yet. That is certainly the one remaining responsibility of the state treasurer is service as a member. So there are multiple members on this board of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands. So I'm not sure who would take the place of the state treasurer. And to be honest, I haven't done a lot of reporting on the actual responsibilities of that particular board. So that might be an interesting thing to look into to see what sort of effect having this particular board member removed and the perspective that they bring and what sort of power they have.
Well, we'll do more as we get closer. Thanks, Jeremy, for the question. Another bill that passed last week in the state assembly has to do with labor agreements, project labor agreements, something about local governments can't enter into some sort of labor agreement with those who are doing road projects or anything else?
Right. It's very wonky. It's kind of confusing. So basically, project labor agreements are things that construction companies enter into with workers to set things like working conditions on a project or the makeup of the body of workers. So whether they represent certain minority groups or whether they're union members. So what this bill would do is it bans local governments from requiring these project labor agreements on public construction projects. So when a local government sends out an RFP or request for proposals on a construction project in their area, they can't say you have to have this as part of your proposal for how you would build this project.
Mm-hmm. So who wants to... I guess, stop these project labor agreements?
So when this passed the state Senate last month and passed the state assembly last week, it passed mostly along a party line vote. So this is really a Republican measure that Republicans are backing and enthusiastic about. And Representative Rob Hutton, who's a Republican from Brookfield, is one of the bill's sponsors. And he said during debate on the bill and before the bill was brought up yesterday, that this shouldn't be considered an anti-union piece of legislation as it had been characterized by some others. So I think we have a clip from Representative Rob Hutton.
This bill is not an anti-union, nor is it a pro-union piece of legislation, but it is a pro-worker piece of legislation.
And what are opponents saying about this?
Well, opponents are saying that this is really another anti-union bill, that it's part of the line of legislation that we've seen since 2011. They're likening it to the Right to Work bill, some of the measures taken in Act 10, and that this is, you know, in their words, chipping away the rights of union workers in the state of Wisconsin. We've got another clip from floor debate last week in the assembly from Representative Christine Sinicky, who's a Democrat from Milwaukee, and she said that the bill is a solution looking for a problem. So here's Representative Christine Sinicky.
The bottom line, after all this debate, is it really is just another Republican attack on Wisconsin workers.
So what happens now? This is a part of the state budget?
So this goes to Governor Walker now. Oh. You know, it's passed the Senate, it's passed the Assembly, so it goes to his desk for him to sign it, and then it's law.
I know you have an update on an issue that we did on this program a couple of weeks ago, the Right to Try bill. What is the Right to Try bill and what happened?
So the Right to Try bill passed the Assembly on Tuesday of last week. And what this bill does is it gives terminally ill patients the ability to try drugs that are not yet approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. So they have the, quote, right to try experimental medications.
And why do proponents want this to be the case?
Well, so this is a measure that's backed really enthusiastically by some members of the legislature. We have Assembly Republican Pat Snyder spoke during debate on this bill in the Assembly, and he said that he had spent some time visiting hospice organizations and talking to patients, and he says that this just opens up the ability, kind of gives people a choice, the ability to make a decision about whether they want to pursue these medications. It doesn't certainly require them to, but it just opens up more. And they're kind of characterizing this, proponents of the bill, as something that's supportive and understanding of patients who are obviously struggling.
Yeah. So who would be against allowing a terminally ill person from trying a experimental drug?
Well, the Wisconsin Medical Society, for one. They say that if enough patients try these experimental treatments, it could actually hinder drug development on medications that have proven to work. And that's something that lawmakers really latched onto and cited during debate last week. They said that this could hurt potential research on life-saving drugs. And there are some other kind of, I mean, this is a bit of a wonky thing in healthcare, but there are some other arguments. And those include the fact that the bill doesn't require insurance companies to pay for these experimental therapies. So if folks decide that they want to try a drug, they could be saddled with the cost, which, as we know, in some instances can be very high.
And as we are running short of time for this segment, what happened with the CBD oil bill?
Yes. So, and I can never pronounce this right. I think it's cannabidi oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
There we go. So this is an oil derived from marijuana plants, and it's used often to treat seizure disorders in young children. And we have had technically CBD oil legal in Wisconsin for years, but people who wanted to to get their hands on this drug to treat seizure disorders in children or other medical conditions said that they couldn't really readily get it because you had to be part of a trial. And so it was, they said that the requirements were really high and those requirements needed to be loosened. So CBD oil, as it's called, is more accessible to more people in Wisconsin. So that's what this bill did. It does not allow people to make CBD oil in Wisconsin. And it actually doesn't even allow you to buy CBD oil in Wisconsin. You have to buy it in another state and bring it here. But once it's here, you will not be prosecuted for having it in your possession.
Yeah. We'll probably follow up on these job numbers that came out last week as well in more depth at another time. But can you, Laurel, briefly tell us, the headline from the jobs numbers?
Sure. So we got two important sets of job numbers last week. We got a monthly survey and we got some quarterly numbers. And those both came from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And the monthly survey had a new unemployment rate for the state of Wisconsin, and that was 3.9%. So that has dipped quite a bit there, and that's compared to a national rate of 4.8%. So that's a positive number. Governor Scott Walker has been talking quite a bit about Wisconsin's unemployment rate as he's traveled the state. That's really a point that he's pushing and saying that this is a sign of our success and his success as governor. So those are the monthly numbers. Then we've got the quarterly numbers. The quarterly numbers were a little bit less sunny for the governor and for the state. They said that we lost about 4,000 manufacturing jobs in the 12 months leading up to last September. So these quarterly numbers are slower to come out. Obviously, we're just doing September 2015 to September 2016. That was quite a while ago. But the reason that there's a little bit of a lag there is that these quarterly numbers are a lot more complete than those monthly numbers. It's a more exhaustive survey of employers in the state. So so that number that came out last week showed that things aren't quite as positive as maybe that monthly unemployment survey.
And one more quick item on the transportation budget, which is facing a huge deficit and road projects that need to be done. Did I read correctly that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says that he is open to trying to take money from the general fund, which would pay for schools and other items in state government, and put that into roads?
That's right, yes. So this is another chapter in the ongoing saga of the state transportation budget debate, which is really the marquee issue of this budget cycle. And this was a unique twist. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, it's on the table now that we might be transferring some money out of what's called the general fund, which, as you mentioned, funds things like schools, prisons, and healthcare, into the state transportation fund, which is facing a nearly $1 billion budget deficit if things don't change.
More on that later. All right, absolutely. Laurel, thank you so much for coming in. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter.